Life after life. Isabel was given very strong injections, which made her unable to think straight and was walking around in a senseless state with her head down, dragging her legs. Her eyes were staring vacantly and her tongue was out loose. It seemed to her that if this continued, she would be a fool forever. Jan watched all this with pain. He and his friends made a plan to help Isabel. When the doctor was about to give her another injection, they began to confuse his thoughts, and he took glucose instead of medication and injected in her. Gradually, she began to come to her senses, and one thought resounded in her mind. Run. Her friends were diligently transmitting it to her, energizing phantoms with the message one after another.
The key is in the nurse's pocket. We have to steal it somehow.
Without showing anyone that she had recovered her senses, she sprinted down the hallway, the same way as before, drooling, with a meaningless expression on her face. The friends were diligently putting the nurse to sleep, and she was snoring while sitting on the couch by the TV. Isabel approached her from the back, carefully took the keys from her robe pocket, and went towards the door. After opening the door, she walked out to the landing and ran down the stairs. When she came out of the ward, a janitor saw her.
Well, where are you going?
Not waiting for him to grab her, Isabel ran to the fence and started to climb over it, but the janitor ran up and grabbed her by her robe. She began to struggle and jumped to the other side of the fence, tearing it open. The fat hog didn't go after her, but she lost her flip-flops while running away, and now she had only a part of her robe left, barely covering her body. She was embarrassed to be dressed like that, but she tried not to show her face to anyone and decided to go home unnoticed to get her things. She made her way through the bushes and approached the house. Looking through the windows, she noticed that no one was there, so she climbed through the window into her room and began to change her clothes. That's when she had the thought. Don't go, it's dangerous. It was Jan and her friends who noticed her father heading towards the house. He got a call from the hospital and jumped into his car, racing to the house. But Isabel brushed the thought aside, as she wasn't fully dressed yet, and she wanted to pick up her favorite things. But then she heard footsteps, her door swung open loudly, and her furious father flew into the room. She rushed to the window, but he grabbed her by the leg and pulled her into the room.
You little bitch! Thought you could escape? You'll never make it!
The father tightly closed the window and the door, then began calling the mental hospital. Isabel jumped up from the floor and sank her teeth into his hand. He dropped the phone. She grabbed it and threw it into the aquarium.
You little snake! I'll get you!
He dragged her to the barn, took out handcuffs, and, cuffing one bracelet to Isabel's wrist, cuffed the other to a bracket on the wall.
Sit here, little beast. I'll send you to the hospital anyway.
Locking the door, the father headed for the doctors. Isabel started pulling the bracket, trying to remove it from the wall, but it didn't work. Eventually, she managed to rip off the clapboard to which the bracket was attached, and with this uncomfortable load, she began to search for a way out of the barn. Noticing a gap between the wall and the ground, she decided to crawl through it, but it was tight. She started widening the gap by digging the ground with a shovel. Soon she heard the sound of the car approaching. Voices of people started getting closer to the barn. She threw herself into the gap and, struggling to squeeze through, began to crawl out. But the clapboard with the bracket got stuck, preventing her from getting out. Meanwhile, the door had already been opened and her father with the paramedics were entering. Finally, she managed to crawl out, but her father saw it and, rushing outside, chased after her. She jumped into the neighbor's garden and ran towards the fence. Isabel ran past the neighbor's dog, who knew her well, and wagged its tail upon seeing her. Then, it noticed her furious father, and growling, the dog attacked him, latching onto his leg. Her father yelled and fell to the ground, fending off the dog. Isabel reached the woods, dragging the clapboard with the bracket. Once in safety, she began to rid herself of the board, hooking it on a tree trunk. She pulled out the bracket, leaving only the handcuff, which she hid inside her sleeves. She decided to go to Kelty's house to ask for help. But something inside her said,
"Don't go. It's dangerous."
She thought it was just her stress-induced fear, and brushed off this thought. But it was Jan and his friends who were sending her this signal, aware that her father had the police on all of Isabel's friends looking for her. Approaching Kelty's house, she saw a police car with flashing lights stopping by, and officers were getting out of the car, heading towards the entrance. It was then that she realized it wasn't just her fears, but a premonition of trouble. It became clear to her that the cops could now visit her other friends as well.
"Go to the city inn,"
a thought came to her.
"Strange. Why there? It's true. I've heard that there are students of the Enlightened Master there. But how do I find them?"
However, she began to listen to such thoughts after several stressful situations and hesitantly headed towards the highway. Jan and his friends were pleased that she understood them, though it was a quite complex thought, and it wasn't easy to convey. A driver was passing along the road towards City Inn. The friends sent him the impulse to give someone a ride. He looked along the road, but no one was there. However, just around the corner, he saw a poorly dressed girl in dirty clothes with tousled hair. Folding her hands in a prayer gesture, she asked him to stop. He was quite surprised, but pulled over.
"Will you take me to City Inn?"
"Get in." She got into his car, hiding her handcuff from him.
"What happened to you? Should I take you to the police?"
No. No need. I'm fine. Just ran and fell, that's all. Can I ask you to make a call?"
Sure, here, take my phone."
With trembling hands, she called Master's number and burst into tears upon hearing his familiar voice. He knew who was calling and said,
"Don't cry. Everything will be fine. I am waiting for you."
"Thank you."
That's all Isabel could manage to say, and she handed the phone back to the driver. Her handcuff fell out.
"What's this?"
"Oh, that's nothing. We were just playing."
"Maybe she escaped from the police. Shouldn't I take her to the station?"
Jan and his friends sent a wave of compassion to the driver, and his state changed.
"Come on, will you let me take it off?"
Stopping the car, the driver used a wire to open the lock and threw the handcuffs far into the field.
"Thank you."
The master met her at the doorstep. She burst into tears. All the tension that had been building up in her since the mental hospital finally took its toll.
"Calm down, dear. Now you are safe."
"Why? Why is everything like this?"
"You see, we are not here for our pleasure, but to learn lessons, to become wiser. It's a challenging world. Take mosquitoes, for instance. They bite us. Why did God create them? But by biting, they awaken us, force us to be in reality. And people like your relatives are big mosquitoes. They bite the soul painfully, but it helps you to see yourself and the world more realistically. You lived with them for so long and yet didn't know them, that they could treat you like this. Because you didn't see them in real, you lived in illusions about them. And now, God says to you, look at the world realistically, become wise. It's only in school that everything is memorized from textbooks. But God teaches through situations that affect you entirely. That is true learning. You didn't know yourself that you were so naive and believed in them and other people who lied to you. You didn't know that you were deluded by yourself and the world, that you got offended when things didn't turn out as you wished, becoming angry and suffering because of it. But these situations, if you perceive them correctly, will open your eyes to yourself, first of all, to how you are structured. They help you to wake up, to know yourself, and they will repeat until you understand everything. I feel sorry for your parents. They have recently incarnated from animals and only seek to achieve things through violence and lies. But the result will be the same, suffering. And you and I were extraterrestrials. It's difficult for us to understand them.
But without you, it's impossible to comprehend this.
It's hard, very hard, but possible. I am here for those who are ready, who have already come to the end of the path of suffering. Others haven't done playing with toys yet. Suffering is an essential part of understanding oneself and the world. Without it, there would be no motivation or depth. Remember Buddha. It was precisely by sending suffering that he sought the path to enlightenment and created his teaching. Suffering makes us sober, makes us see things realistically, as the human mind is woven from illusions and rosy dreams. Often a person doesn't even want to see anything realistically, because it deprives him of his ego and the conviction that everything will be as he expects. But this doesn't mean one should be a masochist. One should seek a path to liberation from suffering, and it lies within us, in disidentification with everything inside and outside, in conscious enlightenment, in the knowledge of God, and in service. But enough about that sad part. You completely forgot that today is your birthday, and your friends have prepared gifts for you. Look.
Oh, thank you.
Go and change.
The master led her to a room filled with beautiful clothes, jewelry, and various items. She threw off her dirty clothes and began trying on outfits, spinning around in front of the mirror. Dressed beautifully and having groomed herself, she entered the hall and was astonished. All her new friends, master's students, were sitting at the festive table. They greeted her with joyful shouts. With tears of happiness and gratitude, she looked at her new spiritual family. Jan and his friends celebrated this beautiful event in Isabel's life.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.